Good evening. Continuing the discussion around tobacco, we spoke to Rashida, giving us an insight around the impact tobacco ban has had on the informal traders, speaking from the point of view from her position as president of the South African Informal Traders Alliance. Earlier caught up to get the legal perspective from Imran Abdullah from CDH. With lockdown conditions easing up and a possible drop down to lockdown level 3, which may mean a lifting of the liquor and tobacco bans, albeit with the restrictions, we're asking the question this evening, is the current ban a valid one? Is it unlawful? Is it unjust? Or is it just plain irrational? Joining us to talk about this is Imran Abdullah. He's a dispute resolution associate at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Imran, good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Evening, Benita, and good evening to your listeners.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. In terms of the regulations, the state of disaster regulations, is the COCTA minister empowered, for example, to issue these bans on liquor and tobacco?
Well, let's just start with the liquor situation, right? So the Disaster Management Act, for some reason or another, has a specific provision dealing with her powers to suspend or limit the sale or dispensation or even the transportation of alcoholic beverages to and out of a disaster-stricken or threatened area. Now, given the global reach of this virus, it could be argued that that could be the entire republic. So she does have those express powers to deal with alcohol in a manner, in an appropriate manner. But that being said, you know, we hear a lot of people speaking about the rationality of the decision, etc. In terms of the Disaster Management Act, if she were to suspend, or as she has done, or prohibit the sale of alcohol, it must be in relation to a specific list of criteria under the Disaster Management Act, such as to assist and protect the public, provide relief to the public, protect property, etc. Now, the rationality link must be between the means employed, i.e. limiting the sale or prohibiting the sale of alcohol, and those criteria there. To the extent that government can provide a rational basis for doing so, then that would render it lawful because
it's
in power.
So has those criteria been met then?
Well, we don't exactly know, because as you would have known yourself, that the decisions or the minutes of these decisions or the records of these decisions are kept under lock and key. So we can only speculate. And you see, rationality is a low threshold. It's a low bar of determining lawfulness. So in that respect, it could be argued. I mean, one could think of many arguments that could be put forward as to why the sale of alcohol would be prohibited. But I mean, a blanket ban on the sale of alcohol in one, or the sale of alcohol for people who want to consume it in their homes, might be considered to be something that's not rationally linked to the purpose of the Disaster Management Act and its regulations. But I mean, like I said, we at this point we can only speculate. And the purpose of our article was to just determine at a high level whether the power is there to act in the first place.
And you've outlined that she does have that power.
At least with respect to liquor sales, right? But with respect to tobacco, it's a very different story, because nowhere in the Disaster Management Act does it empower the minister to prevent the sale of tobacco, I mean, and arguably any other goods. What the Disaster Management Act does empower her to do is publish regulations or promulgate regulations dealing with the transportation of goods and the movement of people and the opening and closing of premises. So to the extent that the regulations deal with, look, you, if you're a tobacco wholesaler, then you can't open your business kind of thing, then she would have been empowered to do that. But then, even in those situations, then she would still have to, it would still have to be to assist the public to provide relief. There would have to be that rational link. But what we're saying is that, in respect of a blanket ban on the sale of tobacco, there doesn't appear to be any provision in the Act itself that allows her to promulgate regulations dealing with the sale or the actual sale of tobacco. So, for instance, if a business is given a permit to open up and sell a particular line of goods, it's arguable that, well, that business then should be given permission to sell its entire line of goods, because nowhere in the Act does it empower her to say, look, you can only sell, for instance, moving away from tobacco, closed shoes and open shoes. I mean, yeah, so that's basically our thoughts on the matter.
The minister may view it in terms of the aspects of assisting and protecting the public in terms of combating the spread of COVID-19. During a recent briefing around that, when the ban around tobacco had been changed and she communicated that with South Africa, she was at pains to explain the dangers and the risks that tobacco does hold in terms of potentially promoting the spread of COVID-19. And in terms of the Disaster Management Act, in linking to protecting people, can that not be a way that they were reasoning it from government's point of view, possibly?
Look, of course, that would be the rational link, right, between the means employed. Because rationality is discussing the means to the end, right? So the means employed were to prevent the sale of tobacco because of its it creates a high risk in people, et cetera, et cetera. That would be cause for to establish a rational link. But what we're saying is that a public official can only perform a function within the confines of the empowering legislation. In other words, they can only act to the extent that the law permits them to act. And with respect to prohibiting the sale of goods or the transaction, the transactional aspect of the movement or sale of goods, then that power just doesn't seem to be in the Disaster Management Act. Like I said, I mean, had she said, look, you can't transport any tobacco goods, because, and then she would have to then establish the rational link to say, well, tobacco is bad for you, and it's been scientifically proven that it increases your risk of infection, etc., etc., that would be different. But what appears in the regs is an express ban on the sale of tobacco, not on the transportation and not on prohibiting a premises from selling tobacco. So that power to prohibit the sale of tobacco doesn't seem to be there. So no matter how rational the link is, or no matter how good meaning government is in trying to address that public health issue of smoking and its increased risk to people, if the power is not there if the power is not given by the empowering legislation, then it calls into question whether that act in itself is lawful.
Mm. So,
are you following me?
I'm following, yes. And if the ban on the sale, as you say, is not mentioned within the act, why were these regulations then not challenged in court?
With respect to tobacco, there has been a challenge brought by the FITA, and there was a threatened challenge by British American Tobacco. But it seems that they've, at least with respect to British American Tobacco, that they are in consultation with government, and with FITA, I think they still are to proceed with the second part of their application, which is dealing with, I think it's mainly with the rationality link. But we're saying that actually you have to take a step back and look at whether she was in the first place. Because there's many ways to test the lawfulness of state action. Rationality is only one. There are other means. For example, under PAJA, it could be a test of reasonableness, then whether the legislation itself empowers the official to perform that act. I mean, there's various tests the common one that's been floating around under these circumstances or under the disaster management has been rationality, because there's strong indications that certain regulations may not be rationally linked to the purpose of the act. So that's what we're saying. We're saying that sometimes you have to look at the other angles, and we're saying that perhaps the act doesn't empower her to actually prohibit the sale.
Okay. Do we know that the ban will be lifted when we come under level 3?
No. From what I know and what's been reported in the media, there's no clear indication of what exactly is going to happen at level 3. I mean, a lot of people are speculating. It could be that the ban is lifted because of the pressure from the public and from in tobacco industry. It may not be. I mean, we'll just have to see. At the end of the day, the minister is empowered to make those decisions. Well, the minister will make those decisions, and whether she was empowered to do that, whether it's rational, only time will tell, and only time will tell whether people actually challenge it.
Mm. Dispute Resolution Associates at Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyer, Imran Abdullah. Appreciate your time and for joining us in discussion this evening, Imran. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.